Welcome to WWDB. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and we have a pretty full show today. So we're going to jump right in and get started. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me here at the studio listening live at 8:60 a.m. Or, of course, you can go to the WWDB website and listen to me live there or listen to any of the podcasts that I've done since I've started in the afternoon on this show. So, yay. Just a reminder for all of you out there looking for a turkey, remember, inflation is not the cause of the high turkey prices. It's the avian flu, the bird flu that has caused problems with turkeys, and farmers and producers have lost a lot of turkeys due to this. I thought it was very interesting that we haven't really heard that on the news. Like, I feel like they should wrap it all up together, that it's not an inflation thing. But of course they haven't. And you could look this up and get the facts on how many birds died. And that's why turkey prices are higher. So it's not inflation, people. Although inflation is a factor in your Thanksgiving dinner. So anyway, happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there this week. I can't believe we're in the holidays, that we're like 2 months away from the end of the year and starting a new year. Hopefully it'll be better than this one. Anyway, we have a super interesting show today. I'm going to divide it into three segments because I want to make sure I get all the information in there. And one of the interviews that we're going to be working on or talking with is from Marge Jackson from Comcast, who's giving us details about ACP, which is called Affordable Connectivity Program. It's a government program on how you can get Wi-Fi and internet in your house and what rebates are out there. So you definitely want to listen to that. That's coming up at the end of our show. And then we also have what's going on in the market as far as holiday shopping. So we are going to have a great interview with Carl Holler. He is a partner at the Consumer Center of Competency Leader at IBM Consulting, and he's going to be helping us figure out and navigate what's happening in this holiday season. I think it's all relative to where you are in your life. Finances are good, it's a good holiday season. Finances are bad, it's a little bit tougher. I have my opinions on that, and Carl and I will discuss when he comes on. But I wanted to really share this amazing technology that I have had the opportunity to interview Dan Scarfe. And I am super excited about what he has to offer. The company's called X-Ray, AXAI, glass software. And it allows people, deaf people, to actually see conversations. I was so amazed by this technology that I just wanted to share it with everybody. And the pilot launch of the groundbreaking personal AI assistant, it's just amazing what they have done and the trailblazing that they have done to allow deaf people to see conversations in subtitles on augmented reality glasses. So I'll give you some of the facts, but I really want to jump right into this because I am fascinated by Dan and what the company has to offer. He is the CEO of X-Ray Glass, and he is a seasoned entrepreneur who has run IT companies for almost 20 years. He was a leader in the cloud before it was even ever called the cloud. So this is a little bit about Dan. And he's published 3 books on Microsoft Azure. He grew his company, .NET Solutions, from 2 people to 600 people, raising over $50 million of venture capital money, and twice winning Microsoft Country Partner of the Year before selling the business to Cognizant in the summer of 2022. And it also tells me that deal was worth hundreds of millions of U.S. dollars. I like how they gave me the bio that says U.S. dollars. Born and brought up in the U.K., Dan now lives in Toronto, and Toronto's X-Ray Glass and is the founder and CEO of X-Ray Glass Finder. Let me make sure I read that right. One of the world's leading tech entrepreneurs. And they came up with this idea when looking for ways to talk. He came up with this idea when trying to find a way to talk to his 97-year-old grandfather who had become increasingly deaf. So I want to ask him about that. X-ray Glass creates software solutions powered by augmented reality. A lot of you know about that. This seems to be the future. I actually heard something on another station today how people were actually buying these Android dolls during COVID so that they would have somebody to talk to. I mean, really, have we gotten to that level? But X-ray can convert audio into visuals, allowing a pair of smart glasses to turn speech into subtitles in real time. So they enrich and empower lives by giving people the tools to be themselves. Empowering the deaf and hard of hearing, they say, is just the beginning. Hey, Dan, thank you for joining us. I'm so happy that you're here. I can't wait to hear more about this. How are you doing today?
I am very well indeed. How are you?
I'm very good. I always love the British accent. I think our listeners do too.
Oh, wonderful. It's my secret weapon.
Yes, I am. It is a secret weapon. Yes, it is. Dan, I'm excited to do this interview. What exactly is X-ray Glass?
So X-ray Glass is a piece of software which runs on NREAL augmented reality glasses, and effectively we allow our users to subtitle their world. So we listen out for audio which is going on around them, conversations which are going on around them. We take that audio and we convert it into subtitles in real time, and we present those subtitles to the users through these augmented reality glasses.
Ah, so who all does this help?
So when we first released the pilot of the software back in August, this was very much focused around the deaf, and that was the kernel of the idea originally. It was my granddad, who's 97 years old and has unfortunately lost all of his hearing. So that was who we were initially trying to help. But actually, as the pilot got underway and more people started using this software, we started to understand the power and what we had created here and the range of conditions that this technology can help with, such as dyslexia and ADHD and autism and APD and a whole range of other conditions.
Dan, is this something that would have helped Fetterman during the election because he had to read the closed captioning?
Well, funnily enough, we actually emailed him to ask whether he would like to try the glasses, but we didn't hear back from him. But yes, it absolutely would have been had he been able to try them.
So people that maybe have gone through a stroke that are having that difficulty, this will help them as well.
Absolutely. Anybody who both struggles to listen to information, but also those who struggle to comprehend information. There are lots of studies that say actually being able to read information, it's far easier to take on board that information. So yes, we believe there could be millions or even billions of people around the world that we might be able to help.
Sounds like you can help everybody.
Well, I hope so. I sincerely hope so, at least a little bit.
So what is the real-time translation like?
So that was one of the most exciting things that we are releasing as part of our general availability, is both the ability now to be able to subtitle your own language, but we can also now subtitle any language which is happening around you. So if you're having a conversation with somebody and that person is speaking French or Italian or Portuguese or Chinese or any other of the 9 languages that we support, we will actually translate that in real time, so you will get to read it in your mother tongue.
So that's amazing. So real time mother tongue is available pretty much to everybody. How have you been getting, I know it's the radio shows and the TV shows, but how is that word getting out there and how are people receiving this?
Well, we've literally only just launched in the last few days, so we're hoping that folks such as yourself can, help us spread the word about this incredible technology. But most of the publicity that we've been getting is just word of mouth, honestly. People try this for the first time and they tell all their friends and their friends then come and try it. And, once you experience it, it's quite incredible, really.
So walk me through the process. I'm having, trouble understanding, or I'm not hearing properly, or whatever that my situation is. So what's the process? Okay, I'm like, I heard about these glasses. What do I do?
So the first thing you need to do is buy a pair of Nreal Air glasses, and they are available on Amazon. You need to make sure that you have a phone which is compatible with those glasses. So that means Android and a particular subset of Android with what are called Snapdragon processors in them. So you get your glasses, you have your compatible phone, you then just go to the Google Play Store, you download our application, and you're away. So it's quite straightforward.
That is really amazing. So do you need, you don't need any kind of doctor's note or any kind of medical prescriptions to get something like this?
Nothing at all. No, these are just consumer augmented reality glasses. I mean, they're actually designed for watching movies. So if you go onto Amazon and look them up, you'll see lots of pictures of big IMAX screens. But we're using those same glasses and that same technology, but we're just, you know, putting them to a different use, which is rather than rendering movies, we're just rendering subtitles.
So one of the things that puzzles me here, Dan, is where would I, like my husband, let's use him for an example here on the radio show. I use him as an example all the time. He's not hearing so well. So why would I opt for this over a hearing aid, or would this be supplemental, or would it be something to try out and see if it works?
Yeah, so, I mean, these things are absolutely not designed to replace hearing aids, and we're not suggesting for a second that they do. This is just, you know, an additional piece of information that you can get as you're talking to people. You know, hearing aids are great, and there have been incredible, you know, technological breakthroughs in that arena too, but ultimately, you know, they are dependent on the hearing of the people to some extent. You know, they're just going to amplify it. But this is a completely different approach. No requirement for any kind of medical. It's just try it. And if it works for you, that's fantastic.
Exactly. So give us an idea for the average person, because I'm not going to check you out on Amazon just yet. Or maybe I will when we hang up.
Why not? Get an order in quick before there's still some left.
Exactly. So are these affordable to the average person? You don't need an extra disposable income?
So the glasses themselves are $379, which if you compare to the price of, you know, contemporary augmented reality glasses, which are thousands and thousands of pounds, you know, it's an incredible price point. You've then got the cost of a compatible phone. If you haven't got one, that might be another couple of $100, but it's not a huge investment, certainly not compared to the cost of, you know, thousands and thousands for a hearing aid.
Absolutely not. People pay more than that just for a pair of eyewear, so I can't see why somebody that has a need for this would not want to invest in the money to do that.
And then we have our software. So we've always committed that there will be a free forever version that provides the basic subtitling experience. And then for users that want access to the premium features, such as the speaker identification, the translation, the personal assistant, then there is a monthly cost to access that version of the software.
Okay. Now, are you guys ready to keep up with the supply and demand?
So the glasses are obviously our partner Nreal, and they're doing a fantastic job keeping up with demand, but it's going up by the day. The software is obviously available from the Google Play Store, so there are no constraints on the number of people that can download that.
I really like this. We're going to talk about this some more. Where can our listeners go for more information? You've been, like, amazing. I'm just blown away by this glass.
So the best place is just to go to our website, which is xrai.glass. And in case you hadn't figured it out, XR stands for extended reality and AI stands for artificial intelligence. So we are combining extended reality and artificial intelligence to create X-ray glass. So xrai.glass.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. And you beat me to the punch, because that was my next question. What does the XRAI stand for?
Oh, you're going one step ahead of the game.
Yes, I love it. Keep us posted. What's next on the horizon for you guys, since you're successful getting the word out and getting this launch going, and you have proven results on how wonderful this X-ray glass is? What's next on the horizon for your company?
To continue to, you know, innovate, build out new features. The subtitling is general availability now. The translation and personal assistant are in public preview. So there's more work that we need to do to refine those, especially the personal assistant. That's the bit that we're most excited about. So the ability to be able to say, hey, X-ray, can you please summarize this conversation? Or, hey, X-ray, what was the name of the person that we were just talking about? So we're seeing that is going to be where users are going to get the the most value from this, and frankly where the most technical complexity is around this personal assistant. So that's where we're going to continue to invest in the coming months and years.
I love it. And, you know, John Fetterman missed out, but maybe there was a reason.
You never know. He just didn't see our email, unfortunately, but there we go. Hopefully he'll get a chance to experience them at some point.
I hope so. It sounds so useful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad that you're here
to tell us more about this. Thank you.
So according to a continued conversation that I had with Dan, he said that the X-ray glass believes it will strongly appeal to Gen Zers and millennials, for whom viewing subtitles is now second nature. I know my husband hates subtitles. That important work meeting can now be summarized. That is too long for universities for lectures, and anyone who wishes from now will be able to use subtitles almost any aspect of their daily life via the application of the glasses, which I thought was amazing. Far more than just watching social videos, films, TV, and captions and things like that. I thought it was really interesting, too, because millions of people who struggle to remember details of anything they're listening to will potentially benefit from these glasses, whether their memory is impaired or they just find it hard to concentrate, often due to the pace of just our daily life. So I did some research and I found out that, yes, you can find these on Amazon. They're averaging under $400 if you want to try them out. And the reviews were pretty good. I'd say their average review was a 4. There were 5s, everything in there under the sun, but that was about their average review, and they're the ones that you should be looking at. And then some quotes that I have here. This is Mark Atkinson, the CEO of the Royal National Institute for Deaf People. He said, this is a great, and I'm quoting, this is a great example of the positive difference innovative technology can make for people who are deaf or having hearing issues. And then another quote was from Steve Crump, who is the founder and chair of Deaf Kids International. And Steve said, and I quote, when I tried on the glasses, I was astonished. This is a product that enables engagement and participation like I've never seen before. I see X-ray glass as a hugely positive force. So it sounds to me, for those of you, you know, we talked about hearing aids in a previous episode and how you can get them over the counter and you can get them at a discounted price. But here is another option for you to try out besides being cool. And apparently gamers are liking these glasses. I don't understand why. But you can go online to their website, to X-ray glasses. You can. They have all the links that'll hook you up to Amazon. It'll hook you up to what cell phones are compatible. You must have a cell phone application that is compatible for it to be able to work with your glasses. But I am just totally amazed at where technology is and how we keep making it smarter and smarter and making it easier for us to utilize the fact that we need to converse, and for people that are having hearing issues. And I know as we get older, I think I need a pair. They would be helpful for me. And remember that these are in 9 of the world's leading languages. So they're just not for, you can set it as we were told by Dan. So I think they're really interesting glasses. I think that it's, you know, information that you should put in your back pocket, especially if you're like my husband, who can't hear a darn tootin' thing when you're talking to him. I mean, that's the big joke in our house, is the grandkids going, Papa, 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 you know, waiting for him to listen. So maybe this can cut all of that out. So X-ray glasses, check out the company. It's let me spell it correctly so that I don't mess it up. It's X-R-A-I, Extended Reality Artificial Intelligence. So check them out. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to do a little bit of the uncertainty that seems to be looming over the holiday season, and we'll be right back with more of Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to www.wwdbam.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our street, our house.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split second, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
Every day, Mark fights retinitis pigmentosa, a blinding retinal disease. But even while his vision is taken, his family gives him hope. Because whether he's helping run their business or enjoying time at home with his wife and sons, Mark knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding diseases, providing real hope to those fighting vision loss. And our nationwide community of local chapters provides networking and support for people with vision loss, as well as their loved ones. Because the best way to fight against blinding diseases is to fight together. And for Mark, winning the fight against vision loss means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more about how you can help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Great music. That's a great follow-up to that segment, Can Anybody Hear Me? And if you want to know more about hearing issues and what else the U.S. government is doing besides this company that we got to talk to, you can go and listen to one of my previous podcasts where we talked about how the government has made hearing aids affordable and where you can look and what you can do and what to look out for, the do's and don'ts and bewares of all of that. So you need to go to my podcast here at WWDB. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. And with the holiday season literally here, oh my goodness, many global consumers are ready to celebrate the holiday seasons, right? Because we missed a little bit of it during COVID. However, this year, there's a wider set of economic and political issues that took the stage this past year. There's new risks, there's uncertainties that loom over our plans. And according to the annual Global Holiday Shopping and Travel Report released by IBM's Institute of Business Value, that's called IBV, nearly half of consumers surveyed will spend less if inflation continues to drive increased prices. Or price increases. So, I'm a little bit puzzled about that because I do see a lot of good sales out there. And I think that all of those companies that were hoarding their money and driving prices up now have to finally let go and say, oh, yeah, let's give you these items at discounted prices because we can't friggin' move them off our shelf. And that's how I feel about this holiday shopping thing. You know, there's supposedly no more Black Friday. The mix of rising prices and decreased availability of inventory means that when we consumers shop, it's just as important as where we shop. And we're continuing the shift away from the traditional Black Friday. That's the day after Thanksgiving, which used to be the start of the holiday season. But now about 58% of consumers plan to start their holiday shopping. They already started it actually before November. And here we are towards the end of November. And almost 2 in 3 people plan to pre-order their products or get them with on-time guarantees, and 73% of consumers say that they are considering sustainability when shopping for the holidays. So that's pretty interesting. I don't know that my holiday shopping will be all that much different than it's been any other year. I mean, sometimes I splurge a little more if there's a little bit more disposable income, but I can't say that that's going to change my shopping this year. Travel is also an area where our guest is going to be joining us, Carl, where consumers are looking to get back to normal. I think we've all been trying to get back to normal for a while. And while we're still mitigating any risk associated with potential price changes due to inflation and, of course, fluctuating gas prices, even with the best plans, we still have risks of disruption. Imagine if you were going to Buffalo, New York this weekend, or you were going to watch a game there with, 6 feet of snow. I guess that would have disrupted your plans. The retail and travel industries are definitely taking notice to what we are doing, consumers, listeners, and they're trying to embrace the uncertainty, and they're trying to lean into technology with things like the hybrid cloud and artificial intelligence to try to win our loyalty and sales this season. A lot of artificial intelligence talk going on here. So joining us momentarily will be Carl Haller. And he is, as I said earlier, IBM's Consumer Industry Center of Competency Leader. He leads that where he works with retailers, consumer good companies worldwide to diligently reinvent their businesses and operationalize the use of advanced capabilities across their enterprise. Carl has had over 25 years of experience in retail, fashion, and consumer goods, and has served in the executive positions in strategy, customer engagement, and marketing at Brooks Brothers, Tommy Hilfiger, The Limited, Donner Advertising. So he's got some good kudos behind his name. And he began his career in the strategic consulting practices at PricewaterhouseCoopers. So I think it's really important to give you listeners the history of the people that I'm talking to, so that you understand that they do bring knowledge to us. Carl, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. I'm excited to talk about our interview, especially with the holidays coming up. And I was very curious as to what you are seeing in changes with consumers. What are they worried about with this holiday season? How are they changing their spending habits?
Sure. Yeah. So IBM just commissioned our annual holiday study. Every year we go out and we study kind of what consumers are thinking, what their mood is, and what they think their behavior is going to be with regard to the holiday. And this is the first time in 3 years that COVID has not been top of mind for consumers. You know, in fact, COVID has actually moved to the back burner. Now, I should always knock on wood when I say that, because we never know what's going to happen with COVID. But this is actually the first year where the economy is really front and center on consumers' minds. So, you know, 2/3 of consumers are less worried about COVID than they were last year, while 6 in 10 are more worried about the economy more than last year. And, you know, it's kind of mixed news, because on one hand you say, well, it's not that great that people are worried about the economy. But on the other hand, it's actually better than worrying about you or a loved one, you know, getting sick or, you know, getting seriously ill. So that's a real shift. And it's the first time again in 3 years that we've seen that. The other big thing is that, frankly, consumers just want to have a normal holiday. They want to shop. They want to travel. They want to go out to eat. They want to see a movie or a show. They want to visit with friends and family, and they're willing to spend to do it. Our study showed that the spending intentions by consumers are up. They think they'll spend about 8% more shopping and almost 50% more on travel than they did last year. And both of these are happening a lot earlier than they did last year too.
I'm seeing that already. I'm already hearing from friends that have their Christmas shopping done or their holiday shopping done, which is a shock to me because I'm last minute. I think people will spend their money, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carl. I think people have been able to save a little bit. I think they're going to spend their money. I think that they understand, maybe I'm giving them more bang for the buck, but I think they understand that inflation is not necessarily inflation caused by everything that's going on. I think there's a lot of corporate greed and supply chain problems going on. And I think people realize this. Do you think I'm wrong about that?
So I would say you're definitely right that there has been a lot of savings. Throughout COVID, we saw the overall savings rate pick up significantly. It's only in the last few months started to come back down to more normalized levels. But for many consumers, that means they do have more money accessible to spend. And they are willing to spend. And, you know, inflation is definitely a challenge because your money doesn't go quite as far as it did before. But I think that is battling against consumers' desires, again, to get out and actually have a normal holiday. You know,
exactly.
And generally, you know, that might be a battle of the head versus the heart. And oftentimes the heart wins out.
Uh-huh. I think you're right about that. And we know that people want to get out there. They want to travel. They want to shop. But what are you seeing as some of the biggest priorities for our listeners and consumers?
Sure. Well, that's actually where it gets really interesting, because when we look at consumers, it's easy to say consumers are doing this and consumers are doing that. But, you know, we're a big country. We've got, you know, about 350 million people. And so one of the things we find is that different consumers actually want different things. So we split our study into four consumer segments. The most well-off group is a group we call the secure. They came through COVID better than they came out of COVID better than they started when they went in. That's about one in five consumers. There's a big chunk then that's called the insulated, who did okay coming through COVID. Then there's a group called the frugal and a group called the strained, who frankly are struggling as they've come through COVID. And what we find is that some of the less well-off consumers, one of the things they're looking for are flexible payment options. You know, that we saw that two-thirds are looking for buy now, pay later. You know, on the other hand, the more well-off consumers are really looking for something different. They're looking for unique products, or they're looking for personalized service. And we found, you know, of those more well-off consumers, about 7 in 10 say this is important for them this holiday. You know, the other thing is that sustainability, which was something that moved from being, you know, tomorrow's problem for someone else, which it was pre-COVID, to being, you know, today, something I care about today during COVID, that's something that we were really concerned that, you know, how's that going to hold up? One, where as we come out of the COVID dominant economy, and two, how much can that weather, you know, inflation or economic setbacks? And we were very encouraged to see that sustainability is still top of mind for consumers this holiday. You know, that there were reductions in the number of people who say sustainability is not important. And then there were all equivalent increases in the people who kind of said, well, it's somewhat important or moderately important, to being very or significantly important. And so I was very encouraged about that. And it's making a difference in thinking about how people, it's making a difference for consumers when they're thinking about where to shop, what brands to buy, where to go, where to travel to, and how to get there.
I think we are becoming more picky, Carl. One thing that you mentioned is some people are looking at the buy now, pay later. Do you think that they're concerned about the increasing interest rates on those charged purchases?
We don't have that data in the study. I think there is still, personally, I think there is still a lack of full understanding of the ramifications of buy now, pay later to consumers. It's been largely pitched as, you know, credit cards without the fees.
Right.
And at some point, that's not going to work 100%. You know, at some point, someone has to get paid. You know, someone actually has to do the pay later part. And the companies who float the money, you know, are in the business of making money as well. And I think while it's still a reasonably small percentage of spending, it's probably safe. But if that gets really big, then yes, I do think consumers will realize that there can be fees and additional charges associated with that.
Okay. That's a good answer and an honest answer. I appreciate it. Travel has been an area where our consumers are really trying hard to get back to normal, and we're still mitigating any risks associated with potential price changes due to the inflation, in fluctuating gas prices. So what are you seeing in that area? How are the airlines trying to jump in and help?
So you're right. Travel has been skyrocketing. And the, you know, again, we saw the consumer saying they intended to spend about almost 50% more on travel this year, this holiday, than they did last year. And so for any of your listeners, I'd say if you're thinking about traveling for the holiday, I would go look to book it and get going now, because the slots are filling up fast, whether that's on a train or a plane. The reaction by the airlines is something, frankly, the big thing they're trying to do, you know, one, I think they're adding slots back, they're adding as much capacity as they can, and they're trying to get workers, frankly, as fast as they can. That's been for both retailers and for travel providers, having enough, you know, qualified frontline staff has been a continued challenge, because they all cut, many of them cut back during COVID, and they've struggled to bring people on, bring people back on as quickly as they need to. I had a situation a couple of weeks ago where it was almost like the stereotypical, you know, nightmare flight story where there were weather delays, and then, you know, they had to swap planes, and then they had to swap crew. And finally, like 3 hours late, we were ready to go, but it had gotten so late that they didn't have the person to go out and direct the new plane into the gate. So I actually had a gate agent who's used to working inside put on the neon yellow vest and go grab the orange cones. And he went out and actually directed the plane in so that plane could park. So all of us who were, you know, now 3 hours delayed late on a Friday night could get on the plane. He got a standing ovation when he came back in, and he admitted, he goes, "That's the first time I've ever done that." And it was great. I mean, that was just I always find it amazing what great stories there are of frontline workers who are not often the highest paid people in the company, going above and beyond to give, you know, to make the best of a bad situation or to give a good experience to their customers.
I think that is absolutely an amazing story. And that lets people know also that the airline industry is hiring again, correct?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think everyone is hiring right now.
Absolutely. And are you seeing any other things that companies are doing to respond to the changes of our consumer demands? Because we are demanding.
Yeah. We are demanding. And the thing that I've been seeing is a big acceleration of the shift into a holiday posture. So almost all the major retailers are out with Black Friday specials. I was actually out doing what I'll call store visits, but what some people might think of as shopping last weekend. And I saw a lot of stores with 30 or 40% discounts, some even up to 50 or 60% off, especially if you're looking for clothing. Mm-hmm. And we've also seen extensions of holiday return policies. So, you know, you're kind of safe shopping now from almost mid-October through mid-January. And I think the industry, as it does, is giving the customer what she wants. They're trying to balance the needs of their business with the needs of the customers, you know, the needs of the investors and the community and the planet and their employees. You know, and that's what the retail industry does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we need those discounts because I think there was a lot of markup, and you know, I truly believe there's been some price gouging going on by companies under the supply and demand regime, as we could say, because the cargo ships weren't coming in, and I feel like a lot of companies found that that was a way to hold on to profits and not pass them on to consumers. So I'm glad to see huge discounts. And that's my opinion, of course. So, Carl, tell me more about what you think is going to happen on Black Friday.
I'm of distinctly two minds about Black Friday. And it'll be interesting in a week to see actually what happens. You know, on one hand, we've now had 3 years without a traditional Black Friday. So I think there will be a lot of pent up demand for people to get back out and get in that frenzy. And, you know, it doesn't seem like we've had anything from a health and safety perspective that's going to impact that so far. Again, I look for wood to knock on. And so on one hand, I think there's going to be a bit of a resurgence. And on the other hand, I actually think the consumers have started shopping so early. You know, we had, I think it was about, in our study, somewhere around 60% of consumers were saying they were starting their holiday shopping before November. And the retailers have started running Black Friday sales so early. You know, some, again, were out in the middle of October with Black Friday sales, that I think from a macro perspective, I don't think it'll be as big of a spike of the sales through the holiday season as it often is.
Okay. I think I agree with you on that, Carl. How often does IBM do these studies? Do they do it relative to holidays? Do they do it relative to political elections or seasonal changes? How do you come up with your data?
So we study the consumer, I would say, probably about three or four times a year. We go out with, you know, what I would call a consumer pulse check study, where we try to take the pulse of the consumer, what they're thinking about, what they're concerned about, what their intentions are, how they're shopping, you know, what are some of the macro factors that are top of their mind. You know, we find that is, having that understanding is essential to our clients, you know, who, at least from my portion of the business, tend to be the big retailers and big consumer products companies. And they always want to know what the consumer is doing.
So they're relying on your reports and your information to help them figure out how to set the precedent for what's coming up.
Yeah, that's one. It's one piece of the equation for them. Definitely.
Okay. One of many, I am sure.
Yes.
You have been wonderful to talk to, and I will be curious to hear what you have to say come next year when we're smack dab in the middle of, you know, COVID hopefully being gone and getting ready for another election. I'm trying to choose my words carefully.
I can't go to the election yet. I need a year without thinking about an election.
Oh, me too. I think we all do. I think we all just want a break. I think we're tired of hearing about it. And I think shopping is a wonderful diversion for many of us coming up over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, so I hope everyone gets a good chance to get out and shop over the next few weeks.
Carl Holler, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Have a happy holiday.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And he is 100% right. Thank you so much, Carl. I really appreciate you joining us. So many retailers are faced with record stockpiles of inventory. So I think you're going to find some great price slashing out there going on. And it's no surprise that internet sales are going to be up. I mean, that started long ago. So I expect to see, and according to Forbes magazine, we'll probably see a 2.5% growth in online sales between from the beginning of November till December 31st. So yay, I could spend more time talking about this. I found Carl very insightful and very helpful. But I definitely want to get this last segment in. I told you there's a lot of information here. And if you're missing anything, please go to the WWDB website and pull up my podcast. This is really important, and I'm going to mention it again tomorrow on my Home Improvement Fix and Facts show for people that are having constraints with money and maybe fall below the guidelines for what a reasonable income would be. It's estimated that 48 million American households qualify for free home internet service, and you may not even know it. So joining us momentarily is let me give you a little bit of history about our guest, Marge Jackson, who is the Senior Vice President at Comcast, and she is helping us to understand what the government is doing to make connectivity more affordable. We've heard about this during the political bullcrap that was going on, and people, you know, undereducated people and people in low income areas that need some help. But I wanted to know more about what is happening in this program, and who is eligible and what they can do. So let me see. I think she's, yeah, Wes, we have her ready to go. Okay. Yay. So, Marge, thank you for joining us. How are you doing? And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I am so glad you're joining me and our listeners because of the new federal government program with the ACP, the Affordable Connectivity Program. What is it? So our listeners understand.
All right. Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. So when I think about, you know, the pandemic has really shined a light on the digital divide, and nearly 23% of U.S. households still don't subscribe to home internet service, even though 98% of homes have access to at least one broadband provider. So to help close this digital divide and get more families online, the federal government recently launched the Affordable Connectivity Program, or ACP, which provides eligible families with a monthly credit of up to $30 or $75 on tribal lands that they can apply towards their home internet service. Now, in the state of Pennsylvania, only 26% of eligible households have signed up for ACP so far. Hmm. So this means that a large majority of eligible individuals and families are still leaving this monthly credit on the table. Now, you and I both know getting you and your family online is an absolute game changer. Mm-hmm. Whether it be for school or for work, it's going to open up doors to unlimited possibilities. That's why everybody eligible should take advantage of this program. And there's so many ways to qualify, whether it's by household income or if you or a family member participates in certain federal assistance programs like SNAP, Medicaid, or if you're a student who receives a Pell Grant. And these are just a few ways to qualify. And it's estimated that up to 48 million households qualified nationwide. So why not check and see if you're eligible?
Mm-hmm. How do you check? Where do you go? What do you do?
So you can go online and you can go to Xfinity.com/ACP, or you can call 1-800-XFINITY. That's the way a lot of our, you know, customers are finding out and learning more about it.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Is this something that's open to all Wi-Fi or internet services, or is this something exclusive to Comcast? I just think our listeners should know.
So it is open. It is wide open. And we are really, really proud to participate in ACP. And I think you know, advancing digital equity and closing the digital divide are causes that we've championed for a long time. And for over a decade, we've offered our Internet Essentials program, which provides low-cost home internet service. It's a device for less than $150 and access to free digital skills training. So with Internet Essentials, customers can get high-speed internet service at home for as low as $9.95 a month and receive up to 50 megabits per second, or our Internet Essentials Plus service, which offers twice the downloaded upload speeds for only $29.95 a month, and it includes equipment, unlimited data, and no contract is required. So when you apply the ACP credit to either Internet Essentials service, your home internet is effectively free. And you could also apply your ACP credit to any of our Xfinity Internet services to save $30 a month. So connecting people in their homes, you know, is a top priority for us.
Yes.
But we also recognize that mobile is another very important way to get people online. That's why customers can also apply their ACP credit to Internet Essentials, which is $9.95 a month, and the remaining credit to our Xfinity mobile service.
Wow, that's amazing. How, Marge, how long will this program last?
So we know that it's open over the next, 12, 24 months right now. So it's really important that folks, like you said, go online, Xfinity.com or 1-800, call 1-800-XFINITY and make sure they're finding out if they're eligible so they can apply now.
So let's break this down a little bit. For people that have cable, do most people that have cable also have internet? Are they kind of the same?
So people that have cable, most people that have cable do mostly have internet as well. However, because, like I said, the digital divide, there is a gap. Mm-hmm. And we need to make folks aware that within that gap, making folks aware that they could apply and actually get this $30 credit is really going to make the difference. It's really making sure that our, your viewers are aware that this is available to them.
You know, it part of it makes me feel like maybe if the companies, and this is no offense to Comcast at all, just lowered their prices, it would be more affordable.
Well, and that's why I was saying, right, if you apply and you actually get this $30 a month credit, now with Internet Essentials, we have that available. We've not only have Internet Essentials with 50 megabits download speeds at $9.95 a month, that includes, the equipment, unlimited data, no contract. It's also, if you think about it, right, Internet Essentials Plus service, now that's download speeds twice as fast and upload speeds twice as fast for only $29.95 a month. So what you do, if you take that $30 a month credit, it effectively can be free.
Right.
So we don't even have, you see what I'm saying? Like, it effectively can get free internet service. That's what's so exciting.
That's amazing. That's really good. And do you happen to know the eligibility guidelines, or it's best to just go to the Xfinity website?
Yeah, it's definitely best to go to the Xfinity.com/ACP website, and it'll completely walk you through, the questions and everything as far as how to qualify. Or like I said, you can always call 1-800-XFINITY as well.
Awesome. Is there anything else that our listeners and our families need to know about this credit that is out there?
The other thing I just would want to hit on is that, not only do we have this credit out there, but the other thing I would think would be important for your listeners is that for them to know, Comcast has invested $20 billion in the last 5 years to evolve and expand our network to reach more homes and businesses. And we're really proud of that and partnering with our communities across the country to bring more connectivity to rural homes and businesses. So once again, it's not only about affordability and cost. It's about access and making sure that folks know this credit is available as well as access is available. That's what's really important.
And one more question for you, Marge, because you are the senior vice president at Comcast, what are you guys doing to help students in schools? Are you providing the services within the schools? How is that working? And is there benefits through Comcast for schools?
Absolutely. So Pell Grant, we're participating and supporting Pell Grants. The other thing I would say is, in partnership with the schools, it's also lift zones. We've launched over 1,000 lift zones across the country, so kids can actually get access. So there's a combination of things we're doing, but once again, it's about really making sure we are in our communities and we're supporting the communities that we serve.
Awesome. I so much appreciate that you are here to share this information with us. I know there's a lot of people that will find this as a benefit, especially as we are in these economic times right now. So one more time, Marge, first of all, I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here, but where can our listeners go?
All right. Visit Xfinity.com/ACP or call 1-800-XFINITY.
Thank you for helping us get our families involved and getting them connected. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Take care. And I just wanted to share with you also that a Pew Research study found that a reported 23% of American households are still without a monthly internet subscription. So too many people remain disconnected, and that's a problem. in my opinion, because people get false information. So you can go right to the ACP website, theaffordableconnectivity.gov, and see where your income is and how this would affect you. $30 a month for some households is a lot of money. And I know, listeners, some of the things I talk about may not pertain to you directly, but it may pertain to somebody that you know. So you want to make sure that you can spread the word or go back and listen to any of my podcasts, because there are a lot of families that live, you know, hand to mouth every week because they don't have enough money. I did look up the basic income, and it says that the ACP, the Affordable Connectivity Program, is if your income is 200% or less of the federal poverty guidelines. And then I pulled up their table. So a family of four in the 48 contiguous states, not counting Alaska or Hawaii, which is higher, is $55,500 a year. For a family of four, that is not a lot of money. I don't know if that's before taxes or after, but you can go onto the website. And if you are enrolled in any of the government programs that are out there, even as seniors, if you're on a fixed income, this program could help you. So please spread the word. I'm going to repeat this again tomorrow. We recorded Marge's segment so that I could repeat it tomorrow on Home Improvement Fix and Facts. As we're getting ready for the holidays, we're going to be talking with some reps from Dick's Sporting Goods and finding out what they have to offer. And we're going to repeat this because everybody could use a little bit of a savings. So remember, you've been listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway right here at WWDB every week from 3 to 4. And then every Tuesday morning, I do a Home Improvement Fix and Facts show. But our words of wisdom from the face of reality: happiness is a choice, not a result. Nothing will make you happy until you choose to be happy. No person will make you happy unless you decide to be happy. Your happiness will not come to you. It can only come from you. Those are our words of wisdom. Make sure you listen next Monday. Checking out, and we'll be back same place, same time. Thanks for listening.